Welcome to Finance Made Easy with Karin and Ebi, where we demystify and educate on all aspects of money. Our goal is to make understanding finance easy for you. Today, I'm here with Karin Thomas. Hi, Karin.
Hello.
And myself, Elizabeth Engelman. They call me Ebi. Today is our third episode in our three-part series of talking about shared finances. And today we're going to be talking about you're in a relationship or living together, but you're not married. What do we need to know? What do we need to talk about?
There's a lot to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah, there is. There
is. In the finance world.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So with what we're talking about today, Karin, are we talking about roommates? Are we talking about committed relationships, or are we just kind of talking about all of it?
You know, I think it can be all of it because there are certain aspects of every financial transaction when you're living together that's the same.
Yeah.
So I think that a lot of what we're going to talk about today encompasses everything from roommates to living together, just being partners. But I think we want to focus more today on you're in a committed relationship and you know that you want to move forward together, but you're not married. What are the things that you can do in a committed relationship? Not just roommates, but
there's more substance there.
Yeah.
I think this is a great topic. And when Karin and I were researching this, this is confusing. There's a lot of information out there that's hard to sift through and go through. It's just, it's overwhelming.
Right. Domestic partnership is a term that is used a lot. And thank goodness now in today's world, a lot of businesses recognize domestic partnership, whether it's same-sex marriage or people who are just really a significant other and decide not to get married. And so you can get health benefits and stuff and everything that goes along with that. But I think it varies from state to state and company to company. So it was hard for us to just say, this is the way this works because it's not the
same
everywhere.
So different across. Yeah, exactly. Okay. So today we'll talk about committed relationship and what are just some of the things we need to know and what are also some of the differences when you're in a committed relationship versus what does that look like if you're married and some of the rights you get when you are married versus what don't you have when you're in a committed relationship. So one of the first things is taxes. So when you're filing your taxes, you're in a committed relationship, you can't file a joint return. So each of you are filing singly. I think you want to talk with a tax professional, see what that looks like for you. Obviously, don't get married just for a tax benefit. But
Some people do. We've
heard it, folks. We've heard it before. But I think it's important to get an expert and get their opinion, see how it fits with your situation.
Well, and along with that, I think we talk about this all the time. When you're in a relationship with finances, you have to sit down and discuss what your finances look like. Especially if you're living together, you might have kids, you might not have kids, you might have committed to your parents, you might have a lot of things that you financially are in charge of. So you just have to sit down and know exactly what your budget is. Go through all of the expenses and say, who pays for what? Who pays for this? Who pays for that? And it's your net. So after taxes, after you get your salary, or maybe you're in a relationship and you don't work and the other person does, but you have things that you need to do at home, there's just a lot to discuss to start out. But yeah, after taxes, it's the net. It's the net what you have at home.
Yep. And you know what? We say it on really every single episode that it's so important to start with that conversation, the communication, because whoever you are in all aspects, it's so important to lay everything out on the table and make sure you're all on the same page. And I think it's also really important to have a discussion about what your goals are financially in life and what that looks like. You know, you want to make sure that in a committed relationship, you guys are working together towards a shared goal, whatever that looks like for you.
Right. And I always think that it's a good idea to try to have separate checking accounts and have your money go in there, and then have a joint account that you can put everything into the joint account that's the shared expenses. And you should determine what that dollar amount is to put into that joint account, because you are in a committed relationship. It's your significant other. You're working together. Maybe one person makes more money than the other. What's fair in the relationship for both of you? Mm-hmm. You know, do you do a percentage of what you bring home? How do you decide that? How do you decide who pays for the kids' stuff? How do you decide who pays for what? So it's just that kind of communication. Or even like who pays the bills? Who does the investments?
The actual physical like work of it.
Right.
That's a big job.
It is.
But, and we've talked about this in previous episodes too, it's really important to rotate that job, or at least make sure that both of you know how to do it, because we see it time and time again that one person was like deemed the money person in the relationship. And if something happens, that other person is left like hanging to dry. And you need to just make sure that you're educated and familiar with your finances and at least how it works, even if you're not doing it on a day-to-day basis.
Absolutely. And you kind of bring up a good point about, you know, if you're not married and you're living together and you have these conversations, I think it's also really important to understand how to protect yourself a little bit.
That is an important difference between when you're in a committed relationship versus when you're married, because let's just say that, you know, your partner ends up in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
You need to make sure that you're protected with having some legal documents in place called a healthcare directive or a healthcare power of attorney, because if you go to the hospital, they may not recognize you as somebody that can give directives of how, what type of medical care they're going to have. If you
the HIPAA rules are HIPAA, really they're strong. Yeah.
They're strong, and for good reason. But you need to make sure that you're protected, that, you know, you would want your significant other to be that person making those important decisions for you. So really for that, go to an attorney. It's a pretty easy process to get those documents drawn up, but they can be literally a lifesaver to have.
So there's three things that you should do with an attorney. Number one, first of all, have a will.
So important.
So important. And discuss what that means with the assets that you currently have and who those go to. Discuss that with your partner. Maybe it's your partner. Maybe it's your kids. Maybe it's your parents. Maybe it's your brother and sister.
Whoever you
or
want.
Or a friend. I don't know. Whoever you want to leave that to. So you need a will for sure. Especially if you're not married, you need a will. Number two, a healthcare directive, what EB was just talking about. And then number three, power of attorney.
That's for financial stuff, right, Karen?
For anything.
Yep.
Yep. If you can be power of attorney for that person. I remember when my husband went into the hospital and I wasn't able to even access our AT&T voicemail because he was on there and I didn't even have the password.
Yeah.
And I just, it's very... So whether you're married or not, that's a good thing. But especially if you're not, you just need to have that power of attorney to be able to do financial transactions for that person if they're incapacitated.
That's such a great example. And, you know, we don't even think about all our life now is digital.
Yes.
Like with sign-ins.
Yes.
Like we don't know each other's passwords. So that's another conversation to have with your significant other, because I know for me and I know for you, Karen, like literally our lives are sign-ins with our online accounts.
Pages and pages of passwords.
Right, right.
Just tell your spouse where the passwords are or your significant other.
Yeah, exactly. But that these are all, they seem like simple things, but this is what needs to be talked about when we keep saying have that conversation, because it's so important to know, because you literally, we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring.
And we did talk about corporate significant others. of course, you need to ask if you can put your significant other on as a healthcare or as a benefit.
Oh, for your benefits
yeah,
at work?
Yeah, for benefits.
Yeah.
If you work for a small company, you're probably not going to have that. But check with the state that you live in.
Yeah.
See if you can get significant other benefits on the healthcare, because more and more states are now allowing that, that they just recognize, like I said, if you're same-sex couple or just a significant other.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, and I mean, man, those healthcare benefits or whatever the benefits are at work, that's a big portion. Yeah. And that's a big portion of your financial life.
Mm-hmm.
You can't overlook that.
Healthcare insurance for a single person that doesn't work is very expensive.
Oh, it's off the chart expensive. So then we also get into things with company benefits like maternity leave. I mean, what if you're in a committed relationship and you have a child together? You don't have to be married. How does that work with your company and maternity or paternity leave?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's just really important to get to know your HR person. They can help kind of navigate and guide you.
Or the state rules.
Or the state rules. You... Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. In the financial world, there are a few differences. Like with a retirement account, like an IRA.
Individual retirement account.
Individual IRA, retirement account, IRA. There we go with throwing around our acronyms. If you're married, okay, and if one of the spouses passes away, you're able as the spouse to roll that IRA or move that IRA of your deceased spouse into your name. And it allows, what you can do then is it allows you to continue to either defer those taxes or take those distributions out as though it's yours.
With your life expectancy.
With your life expectancy, mm-hmm. exactly. If you are not married, they have a whole set of different rules out there for you.
Yep. Then it's called a beneficiary IRA, and you have to take something out every year.
Yeah, regardless of your age.
Yep. It's just a little different.
It is a little different. And so I think it's just important to know the differences of things that are out there for, you know, when you're in these committed relationships. Mm-hmm. So,
you know, can I go back to the benefits again?
Yeah.
I kind of totally forgot about this, but HSA is called a health savings account. And a lot of plans have a high deductible plan where you can put money into an HSA and then have that grow tax free, but use that for your benefit. So it's pre-tax dollars going in and it's gross tax free.
Such a nice benefit.
Such a nice benefit. And to be honest, you know what I tell a lot of people is I say, if you can afford it or if you can do that, put as much money in your HSA as you can and don't touch it. Use your other funds if you can.
Yeah.
Because when you're, you know, if you let that grow, you can put a good portion of money in there. But if you let that grow until you're, you know, retired, that could be a really big benefit because you can invest those funds too.
So nice. And with that health savings account, that HSA, every year you can continue to let it grow. They don't force you to take money out of that every year.
Right. And tax-free.
And tax-free.
We don't have that in too many options with that.
No. And so thank you for mentioning that, Karen. That's a great benefit that companies offer.
And a lot of times companies offer pensions.
Oh, yep. We're seeing a little less of that today.
Yeah, I don't see it as often. But if you're a government employee or that kind of thing, understand what those rules are. If you can have your significant other as your survivor on that benefit, it's really important to know.
So when you say survivor, Karen, explain what you mean a little more about that.
So when you have a pension and you retire and you say, okay, I'm going to take my pension. It's so much per month. It's single life pension is the most money that you can take every month. But you can also usually get the option of saying that my spouse, if I pass away, will get 50% of the benefit or 75% of the benefit or 100% of the benefit. You can choose. And then it's a different dollar amount that you get. So it's for the life of both of you.
Wow, okay.
But it's usually a spouse.
Yep.
But sometimes now they've offered to do significant others.
That's a huge benefit. Mm-hmm. So you want to, and that goes back to making sure you're protected.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And you should also see if you can roll it over, because then if you can roll it to an IRA, your pension, that might even be better. Then it's yours and you can do with it what you want. But if you can't, there are several instances where you cannot. See if you can at least offer that to your significant other.
Yeah, that's so important.
So I think that there's a lot of different things that go on when you live together, you're in a committed relationship. Like we always say, it's kind of our mantra, communication, talk about it.
Communicate.
Find out, do some research, but understand your options. And hopefully you'll be able to live happy and financially together.
Happily financially ever after. Well, thank you so much for tuning in today. This wraps up our shared finance series, our three-part series here. And so we look forward for you to listen to our next series. Thanks.
Have a great day.
Bye-bye.